Welcome to part two of our conversation with Andrea Perrin about paradigm shifts.
It's just always very intriguing how one location can have such a different effect on on different people, especially close-knit members of a family. That's where it's such an interesting thing. Let's shift away from the house a bit and talk about some things that have been going on in more current times. We have obviously the global pandemic that is hopefully, knock on wood, or do whatever superstitious thing anyone wants to do, is coming to hopefully close here.
I don't want to knock on wood. I want everybody to go get a damn shot in their arm.
I like that. I like that. How do you think the global pandemic has affected the world in terms of spirits and the supernatural? Has this been a time period where things have flared up more because, you know, people are more in their homes and there's more energy around in those sort of settings in areas where it may not have been for ever? Or have we seen things slow down? How do you think that this has had an impact on it? I said at the beginning of the pandemic, I said, when this is done, something is going to have happened. So this is going to have made an impact one way or the other. I don't know what yet, but this is going to be a shift of some sort. What's your
thoughts? It is. This is the paradigm shift. It's a very large part of it. Another part of it is of course, the geopolitical upheaval that we've been through in the last 4 years or so.
Sure.
A lot of it has been the upheaval that is still ongoing, and not just in this country, but really around the world. This is, you know, what people sometimes say, you know, you've been lecturing about the forthcoming paradigm shift now for like a decade or more. And yet when it actually got here, I'm the one that should have been like most prepared for it on the planet. And it leveled me. It leveled me. I took it, with all the good advice that I imparted, you know, forewarned is forearmed, you know, and all of that. I forgot to take my own good advice. For the first couple of months, I cried a lot. I slept a lot. I ate a lot of ice cream. Because calcium.
Sure.
And, you know, it comes in a variety of sources. It might as well taste good.
Yeah.
I started, you know, packing on the pandemic pounds and so kind of gave that up. People ask me all the time, you know, what's a paradigm shift?
Yeah.
And I guess the easiest way to explain it, not simplistically, but that I think people can relate to, is it is a world event where everything shifts from this to that. And once you're on the other side of it, you realize that nothing will ever be the same, that it has altered the consciousness of the planet, literally, and everybody on it. That it has generally involved a great deal of loss, a great deal of spiritual growth, a great deal of pain and grief. It has unleashed fear. It has unleashed love. It has broken us wide open. Many of us will never think the same way again about anything. I mean, just look, Tony, how people are struggling about, you know, I'm going to Walgreens. Should I mask up or what? I mean, like, if I don't put a mask on, is somebody going to think, you know, that I'm in a different political party? Or does somebody think, do they trust that I've actually had my vaccines? I think I'll just wear my mask.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the dynamics at play that are going on through all of this. I mean, look at the social uprising, this social justice uprising. I mean, you know, when I was scared to step out my door, I was marching for Black Lives Matter. George Floyd's murder affected me profoundly. significantly. And so much else that's gone on around all of this. I mean, this has been a time of rapid, rapid growth and change and degradation and enlightenment, illuminating what is like the most toxic stuff in our society that all seems to filter down to the bottom of the huge cauldron, we call America, and got hit with a flamethrower and bubbled to the surface to be cleansed by the light of scrutiny. We've had an insurrection. Oh my God, if you look back on just the last year and a half of everything that has happened in this country and around the world, Beirut explodes because of neglect of fertilizer stored in a bin, and it blows the city off the map. I mean, just think back, Tony. I mean, this has been a year of, oh, holy hell. I mean, I can even understand why some people might say, oh, this is the end of days. This is it. I get that. I do. I mean, it really is an amazing time that we're going through and trying to get to the other side. And, you know, the sad news is we're not even close to being done with this yet. We're not even close to the awareness that will stabilize humanity. And what we have to do is get from a point where we go from a mindset of us versus them to a realization of oneness, of we're all in this together. And that's going to take a while. And yes, it's underway, but it's not even close to done. And we face, I believe, many more trials and hardships and trauma before we get, because, you know, human beings, we're, if we're anything, we're slow learners. And I truly think that Earth is like soul school. And unfortunately, in soul school, the test comes before the lesson. And, you know, we're just, it's just one trial after another, after another, after another, you know, I mean, you know, take a knee and then a knee on the neck, and we've got a murder, and then we've got a trial, and then, you know, everything shifts in terms of, law and order and justice and, you know, whose lives matter? How about everyone's lives matter? And, you know, maybe we should start thinking in terms of everyone's lives matter, including dead lives matter. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me in the last year or more and said, there's something in my house. I've lived here for 15 years and I've never had any kind of activity in my house before. And now I do. And it's almost daily. And I don't even know what to make of this. And, you know, my response to that individual is, honey, that's something that's always been with you. It's probably a loved one or an ancestor or someone who's watching out for you. And as you've changed, as you've grown, as you've been fractured and, you know, split wide open during the course of this pandemic with the loss of your father or the loss of your brother, or, you know, I mean, so many people have incurred profound loss through this. And I mean, we're approaching 600,000 deaths just in America. You know, that's 600,000 families that will never, ever be the same. And it has had an incredible effect on a lot of people. I have likewise had many people, countless people, reach out to me and say, I looked up into the sky last night and I saw something I've never seen in my entire life. And here, I took a picture of it. What do you think, Andrea? You know, it's like, oh, well, okay, there they are. Did you wave and say hi? You know, this has been a time where people's minds and third eye have been pried wide open, and where the machination, that veil that people talk about that's, you know, between our realm and the next that never really existed at all. It was just kind of like a theater scrim put in place to make us feel like we're compartmentalized and we're safe from all of that out there. Mm-hmm. Well, it's see-through and it doesn't actually really exist. And I have had incredible outreach from people who, for some reason, think I know more than anybody else and have shared their experiences with me during the course of 2020 and beyond, that made me think that, you know, we often associate the numbers 2020 with the word hindsight, but in reality, it's not just looking back, it's looking forward. It's 2020 foresight. And what does this all look like on the other side of this? And what it looks like is humanity breaking out of its three-dimensional, five-sensory, oppressive worldview shell, stepping into the fourth dimension, which quantum physicists use as a description of the realm of spirit, and ascending spiritually into the fifth dimension, where we will literally save ourselves from ourselves.
I guess
that's the paradigm shift.
And that's the interesting thing. And there's a couple of points I'd like to get on there with the idea that we're going to be able, as a society, as a whole, kind of have this moment. It almost seems like it would take a moment of some sort to get us on the same page. Clearly, a pandemic didn't do it, which I'm kind of surprised by. I was honestly thinking that, you know, well, maybe this will be, you know, something that people can gather around and they can go, look, we got to get through this together, as societies have done in the past.
No, it was instantly politicized.
It made everybody hate each other more. And it's like, well, that didn't help. So it's like, what is it going to take? I mean, it had to be some sort of massive event that almost something like the world has never seen. I would think to get that shift to happen.
And it's coming.
And that's what I wonder about. And that's, you know, that's where I lead to. And I know on this show, we normally just kind of stick on ghosts, but this is something that, you know, I do want to talk about, because I know you have a lot of interesting insight here, is the UFO thing, the sheer amount that people are seeing these days. I mean, it used to be kind of something where you'd maybe see it on a TV special, or maybe like some person, friend of a friend of a friend or something, got a weird picture. Now it's like, I get pictures from regular friends who aren't even into that sort of thing whatsoever going, look at this.
Yeah.
And it's all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, what do you make of this sudden seemingly influx of these objects people are seeing in the sky that are clearly they're not drones. There's something else going on here. I mean, what's your take on that?
It's my take on this, and I feel adamant about this. I believe that what is happening, I think and I know that what is happening, is that we are actually witnessing our old reality with new eyes. They've always been here. They will always be here. They are super, you know, circumnavigating this globe in numbers that the vast majority of people would never be able to wrap their minds around. You know, we've had official disclosure from the Department of Defense three times in the last 3 years. Next month, Congress is getting involved. Next month, there will be unredacted disclosure from the Department of Defense to Congress on this subject. You know, that thing that they said they weren't studying anymore? You know, and the thing that they were never studying in the first place, but then they sort of were, and then they said they shut it down, and then they ratted themselves out when they released more film footage, because even the people inside the military are like, enough is enough. This is happening. This is what I saw. And I saw a vessel drop 80,000 feet in 1 second.
Yeah.
There is no country on this earth that has created any kind of technology or vessel that is capable of doing that. So what is this, and who is it, and where do they come from? And so now they're going to go through that whole, oh, this is a national security threat. Oh my God, no, it's not. Because they're so technologically advanced to us that if they posed a threat, they would have carried through on that a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And they are no threat at all. You know, I was watching the film footage off of the USS Nimitz that they finally released, you know, years and years after it happened. And I'm just sitting there and I'm watching it with my dad. And I'm like, look at them, Dad. They're playing with them. Look at what they're doing. They're playing with them. You know, I mean, they're making their presence known to our military. But it's so sweet and it's so playful. And then when one of their helicopters went in for a closer look, and it seemed like, you know, the vessel was completely cloaked, but it was hovering right over the top of the ocean. And it looked like the freaking water was boiling underneath it in a circle 80 feet around. We don't have stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not for nothing, you know, I don't mean to state the obvious, but, you know, we're not alone. We've never been alone. And they love us. And they're making their presence known to more and more people as more and more people open themselves up to the idea. Do you remember in December of 2017 when it was splashed across the head of the New York Times about this release of information from the Department of Defense? I made a video about 2 weeks later. And part of that video, it's on my YouTube page, just like, why isn't anybody reacting to this?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, is everybody in shock? Is everybody like, of course they're here. Did it take a while to sink in? Why was there such a muted reaction to this? I mean, did you ever expect 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Tony, that you could turn on the evening news and see film footage of the latest extraterrestrial that was captured?
No.
And have, you know, the mainstream media, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, PBS, you know, the Weather Channel airing segments Sunday morning, 60 Minutes. I mean, did you ever think that this story would be out in this way and given the credence that it's being given now if there was absolutely nothing to it? The fact of the matter is that when the Roswell incident occurred, the government did tell the truth and then they panicked and they retracted it. And started coming up with their BS line about a weather balloon, you know, and we've been dealing with misinformation, deliberate misinformation for more than 70 years, close to 80 years now. But the truth of the matter is that they are here, that they were here prior to that time. But when we started blowing off hydrogen and atomic bombs on this planet, because all of the multiple dimensions of the universe are all interconnected and integrated, when we were doing damage here, we were likewise doing damage elsewhere in the universe. And if they could get here, they did get here. And they have been watching over us ever since. My friend Paul Hellyer, who's the former defense minister of Canada, said a few years ago, he said, they came in droves and they looked down upon us and they said, oh no, the children are playing with matches.
that is kind of what it feels like. It's a weird thing because when we're talking about, you know, what you'd said earlier, when that was a headline in the New York Times and nobody really reacted, it was just like, yeah, okay. Granted, there in 2017 seems like 100 years ago now.
Light years ago.
Yeah, but it obviously wasn't. And we were beginning to get a lot of distractions at that moment in time of just utterly crazy things with a
craziness. Crazy town.
So I don't know if we were just kind of so in distraction mode with that stuff. And then that's how this kind of got brushed over. But even so, let's say it's out there. And again, we have another headline that is that impactful. People don't believe things that are facts on the ground from human to human, you know, where it's just flat out here's reality. And they can, with a straight face, and I think it's not even denial. I think they actually are able to believe whatever they want, whether it's the sky is blue today, and they'll be like, no, it's purple. Like, no, that's not it's purple. If we're not able to get over the hurdle of just digesting reality of what we're doing to each other, how on earth are we going to get anyone into the over the hurdle of, oh, by the way, these things are flying around in the sky. Here's all these pictures and videos. If they can't even digest basic words and communication between ourselves here, adding something like that into the dialogue, I mean, it's more than a bridge too far, it seems.
Yeah, it is. It's sheer lunacy.
Yeah.
And I have watched in horror. You know, my mother said many, many years ago, when we were still living at the farm, she said to me one day, she just kind of patted my hand, and I told her about something that had happened in the house. And I said, should I be afraid? Why wasn't I afraid? And she just patted my hand and she said, sweetheart, fear the living, not the dead.
Yeah.
And I have gotten a taste of fearing the living like nothing I ever experienced at the farm.
Sure.
I tell people, I lived in nervous breakdown mode for 4 years plus, you know, I mean, like in nervous breakdown mode, like I never knew what was coming next. Yeah. Like, you know, a full-blown definition of the word gaslighting, a full-blown definition of the word cult, a full-blown definition of the, you know, it's like, oh my God, I was afraid to turn the news off.
Yeah.
Literally afraid to go to sleep. Didn't know what was going to happen next. And in its own way, you know, I look back on it and that served a purpose too. That fractured us too. Mm-hmm. That opened us up in different ways. And yes, created an incredible division, unlike anything that I have ever seen in my lifetime. You know, whole families completely blown apart. Mm-hmm. I personally know people that have not spoken to their parents or their siblings in like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't even have a civil conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's tragic. And, you know, and then what's more tragic is if someone in that family that they could no longer speak to dies of COVID alone in a hospital room on a ventilator and no one can visit them. And how tragic is that?
Yeah.
And how much more tragic does it need to get before we wake up?
Yeah.
I would have said that a little differently, but I'm not sure what you put on your hair. Or you
anything, anything and everything. So there's no restrictions.
All right. Okay. So that's my message. Yeah. Wake the fuck up. Wake up. This is our old reality. We need to look at it with new eyes. All of us do. All of us do. There is no such thing as this race or that race. There is the human race, one race, one race. Realization of oneness. That's what it's going to take. And the time will come. Now, the galactic family, Tony, I'm telling you this, you're my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm never going to lie to you. I'm always going to be straight with you. And I am telling you that we're not even close to being done with this yet. And that this is going to get worse before it gets better. But I will tell you that the time is coming when they will make their presence known in a much broader way. They're changing minds one and two and three at a time with sightings right now. Mm-hmm. But the time is coming when they will make their presence known worldwide simultaneously. And that the only reason why they haven't done it yet is because we have not yet arrived at a point of critical mass where enough people have accepted it into their consciousness that we are not the only life force in the universe, and that there are some that are so far, you know, technologically advanced to us, spiritually advanced, you know, that are so far ahead of the game that they're actually here to help us. And the way that they're helping us is by helping to alter our DNA from carbon-based to crystalline light-based. Do you know people, or do you yourself have sensations of what some people describe as tinnitus, a high-pitched ringing in your ear that suddenly comes, stays for about 30 seconds to 2 minutes, and then it's over?
I've had it sometimes, but you know what? I will honestly say I have heard more and more people in the last year or two complain about that far more than I ever in my entire life.
Yeah, it's not tinnitus. Stop feeding the ear, nose, and throat doctors all your money. It's called a download. And it's information that is fed to people that are somehow genetically connected with one race or more. There are numerous races that have visited or are co-inhabiting the planet. And, you know, I'm sure I'm seeing your eyes roll out there. I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, here she goes. I am telling you, there are 57 documented races that have visited this planet or are existing with us on it, that the United Nations has an emissary to extraterrestrials. She's a doctor with about 100 PhDs. I just don't think that the United Nations would be paying her a boatload of money to sit in an office and twiddle her thumbs. There's so much more going on than the, you know, the vast majority of people know. And, you know, I have a little bit of the inside scoop in that I work in the field and I know some very powerful, very well-informed people, and I get kept in the loop because I'm an experiencer and a contactee. And so I lecture at these different events and I get to meet other people who have had like experiences. I go out, as you know, Tony, I, you know, used to anyway, go to numerous events around the country every year. And at least one night of every event, I would take out sometimes dozens, sometimes hundreds of people out into the dark of night and throw my arms wide open to the universe and sing at the top of my lungs their favorite songs. They prefer show tunes and stuff from the 40s. I don't know why. No, they do. And here they come. And we have thousands of photographs of incoming vessels. I have film footage of a purple vessel that came in, and as it came closer, it shrunk into something about the size of a ping pong ball. We have film footage of it coming in while I'm standing in the middle of a parking lot in Sault Ste. Marie. And it had a deep purple core, and then like the rings of a tree as it moved out and out all the way, different shades until it got to like a lavender ring on the outside of it. I didn't see it. I had my eyes closed and I was singing at the top of my lungs, and I didn't know I was being filmed. And the woman that captured it showed it to me afterwards. I was like, well, isn't that interesting? And this thing came in, and, you know, I mean, hundreds of people have photographs of it. She filmed it, and it came in, and it landed at my feet. And I was wearing a full coat and a full length dress, and it landed on first on my shoulder, and then it dropped to the ground, and it kind of danced all around my dress. And then it popped up onto the top of my head, and then it entered my body right around the heart chakra, and it didn't leave. It didn't leave.
Wow.
I am them. They are me. We are one. I don't know if that makes me necessarily a hybrid, why I can see extra-dimensionally, interdimensionally, ultra-dimensionally, why I can see ghosts and spirits, why I can see them, the galactic family, and that's what they are to me. They're family, just like the spirits are. I don't know what makes me different. I don't know why I have felt like a misfit on this planet since the moment I was born. What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
What is this? That's how I have felt my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the beginning of April, I finally took the plunge, and I became an ordained minister.
Oh.
And it's a calling that I have heard for decades of my life, and I don't know why, because I do not ascribe any particular religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a deeply spiritual person, but I don't espouse any particular religion. I consider myself a recovering Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know that that's part of the message, and it's part of the message that I impart. And the message that I impart is they love us, but they can't save us. And, you know, in my newest book, which I have not even released publicly yet, it's coming out soon in a more extended edition in hardcover, but I've been selling it privately since August of 2019, because the world wasn't quite ready for it. It's getting there. It's getting there. very shortly, I'm going to release publicly A Wonder to Behold. And the whole book is about the paradigm shift, and it's 10 chapters long, among other things, including all of the experiences that I've had lifelong as a contactee.
Mm-hmm.
And my family's experiences at the farm, and it kind of integrates the whole story together. I'll send you a copy of my original first edition. But I needed to expand it. I needed to feel this and experience this pandemic and everything that came with it. And I had to add a chapter, and it's the title of the chapter is "This Is It: Welcome to the Paradigm Shift."
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a continued bumpy ride, I'm sure. And I just hope at some point, however it is, and however more dramatic things get, I just hope at some point we get some sort of peace, because I don't know. I think a lot of us are just at a loss going, I don't know how we're ever going to see that happen. But hopefully.
Well, we have to go within. We have to find our peace within.
Yeah.
Because it does not exist beyond us.
Yeah.
And once we get to a place of peace, I mean, Tony, I've been through it. I mean, I got to the point, I got so angry that I started to become what I loathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to step way back and reassess, because I realized that what was toxic in me that I didn't even know was there was also rising to the surface, mm-hmm, to be cleansed. And once it was raw and real and right on the surface, I mean, I lost my mind,
mm-hmm,
when the Capitol was attacked.
Yeah,
I lost it. And I had to go through that. And unfortunately, I had to drag my friends and my family through it with me, you know, because we all basically, we all had the same exact reaction,
yeah,
to it. You know, I mean, it wasn't from the Princess Bride, have fun storming the castle.
Yeah.
You know, no, I mean, it was nothing less than literally our democracy on the chopping block, you know, mm-hmm, with it being dragged to a noose,
yeah,
hanging outside, you know, the sacred seat of our society. I lost it. I lost it. I just didn't think that I could be more upset than I was. You know, and I was up in Georgia with my mother and had to hold her in my arms and listen to her weep as we saw this unfolding on national TV and no one calling in any help,
yeah,
to make this stop, make it stop. And the same people that were running for their lives and were, you know, trying to find a hidey hole somewhere in, you know, the bowels of that building,
yeah,
and waited out until it was over, today
I know,
voted, no, we don't need to take a look at this. Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
I know.
You know, I mean, what universe are you people living in?
That's what I mean.
What universe? Because
yeah,
it's not mine.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, we cannot recognize the facts of reality of what has gone on. how are we going to then, you know, take in something else? But it maybe it's going to take that. It's going to take what you were describing earlier, some event where it's just, look, this, everything's here. These things are here, and there's no denying it at this point. Then the only hope I could have is like, well, hopefully society doesn't completely crumble at that moment in time.
Pull us together.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote the shortest chapter in A Wonder to Behold is called The Chicken and the Egg. Mm-hmm. And about 4 years ago, I was working on one of the screenplays mm-hmm. for my books, and it was quite late at night. You know, I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And all the words were blending together. I was exhausted mm-hmm. and I closed down my man cave and went right around the corner into my bedroom and threw myself on my bed. And something shook the bed. And then I said, you know, leave me alone. I'm not going out tonight. You know, and I'm outside almost every night. I'm out between like 3:15. I'm outside. Mm-hmm. And that's when I commune because everybody else is asleep. And, you know, they have a tendency to show themselves to me in remarkable ways. And so that's, you know, when we have our little chats. But that night I did not want to go out. I did not. I was really tired. And so I kind of sloughed him off and said, you know, I'll see you tomorrow. And then I got like physically shoved in the bed, like get up, wake up. And it was the middle of winter. So in Florida, that meant that I had to have socks and slippers and a robe on. Mm-hmm. So I got up and I was aggravated, Tony. I was sure. A little aggravated. You know, I have a close enough relationship with them, even though I'm not exactly sure who I'm, you know, talking to, I can get a little pissy.
Sure.
And, I went outside and stood in the middle of my very large driveway and looked up and said, "What is it? Mm-hmm. What?" And I didn't see anything in the sky, nothing. I saw nothing moving. I saw a few stars, nothing. And I'm just standing there like, you brought me outside for what? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had a flash of light behind my eyes in my third eye. I'm not sure. It was blinding, absolutely blinding. And it was a split second. And in that flash, I had a memory of something that had happened to me when I was a 12-year-old child. And we were living at the farm. We had just moved to the farm. It was our first spring there. And my mom and dad found out that there was a chicken farm across the border in Connecticut that sold fresh eggs right from the farm. And, you know, my mom and dad were like, oh, yeah, we're going to live like pioneers and, you know, colonials, and let's go get fresh eggs for the girls instead of going to the A&B. And so they loaded all of us up into the car and drove us about 10 miles across the Connecticut border, which was quite close anyway. And we went to this chicken farm, and dad's talking to the farmer, and the farmer's wife takes my mom and the five of us out into a part of the coop where they allow some of the fertilized eggs to hatch. Mm-hmm. And so there was this machine that was lined up that had all these little, was an incubator. Mm-hmm. And it had a little warm machine where all the eggs were sitting in their own little like egg container section. And one of the eggs started moving, and I saw the tiniest little beak pop out through the eggshell. And I reached over, cracked the egg so that I could see the baby and help the baby release itself from the egg. And my mother caught me and grabbed my hand and gently retracted it and said, "Oh no, honey, you can't break the egg for the baby chick or it will die." Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I mean, out of sheer ignorance, I almost killed a baby chick. Out of sheer ignorance, not knowing that I would kill it if I broke the shell for it. Mm-hmm. And I had learned my lesson so well that day that I literally forgot that that happened. I knew that I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And so I stood there instead, and I watched the baby chick peck its own way out of its egg. And what my mother was trying to tell me in that experience, and keep in mind, Tony, this all happened in a split second.
Yeah,
all of this, where I saw this memory all over again, mm-hmm. something that I'd forgotten 45 years before.
Yeah.
What she was trying to tell me is that the amount of energy that it requires for that baby chick to peck its way out of its enclosure, out of its three-dimensional egg, and emerge into the world, into the universe, is equivalent to the amount of strength that it will require to survive outside the egg. Mm-hmm. And if you do it for it, it won't have had the ability to build that strength, and it would perish.
Sure.
So, you know, me, I turned around, walked back in the house. I'm like, thanks very much. Got the message, opened up the computer, and sat until 5 o'clock in the morning writing a treatise called The Chicken and the Egg, and included that in the book. And I think it's the most important part of it.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, they can't save us from ourselves. We have to self-educate. We have to self-illuminate. We have to self-perception ourselves mm-hmm. Into an expanded knowledge and grow our consciousness to such an extent that we realize that everything is energy and everything is consciousness and every dimension is equivalent and intermingled and intertwined like the gold filaments of a tapestry, that everything is one thing. And it is that realization of oneness that will ultimately save us. And if we don't achieve it, we will perish.
That's going to wrap up our conversation with Andrea Perrin about paradigm shifts and so much else. Another amazing conversation with Andrea, and a giant thank you to her for being on our program once again. She was actually our first guest way back at the beginning of our other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, and she was one of the first guests on this program as well. It's always great to have her. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.